here's part of the problem, though. Michonne has already caught the white man's disease, right? She's been shacking up with the white man, got a little of that white man saliva on her lips. Now she's got the fucking white man's disease. What are we going to do?
Spread my will across the world.
That's right. She caught the white man's sickness. All she wants to do now is fucking get her fucking white king man next to her and go reorder the fucking re-education camp, the population, right? She fucking caught that white man sickness, and I feel bad for her. I hope she can get cured of it. God,
yeah.
She's like, we're gonna have armies, and
we'll have a legacy. Our manifest destiny that'll last forever. It's like, oh, fuck, Michonne.
Can we crush all the smaller groups and make them subject themselves to our will? Can we do that?
Huh? I never thought I'd have to say this, but I think you need to go break off a piece of ebony, Michonne. Fuck.
Give Ivory a rest. It's turning you into a fucking monster. Welcome back to the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. I'm Dean. I'm joined by Matthew. And together, we are going to be talking about The Walking Dead. This episode is called Say Yes. And if this is your first time joining us, we are going to spoil this episode, so please be warned. We're also probably going to say some naughty words, so please be warned about that as well. Today, Matthew's joining me, and we're going to get to it. Matthew's on one side of the country. I'm on the other. I understand that just saying the country is kind of a microaggression because I'm just assuming it's the United States. Mr. fucking microaggressions.
I'm actually a British man, and I've been doing a very, very accurate American accent this whole time. I'm actually in the fucking UK.
And if I say America, that's not specific enough either because there's South America, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be micro. Yeah, I'm just an overprivileged white shitlord who's just loving watching Rick getting some fucking love from an African queen.
If anything, we're going to talk about that. Enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough.
So here we are. We're going to do this shit. It's going to be a good time. I'm looking for it. Matthew, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Feeling pretty good about this episode. Last week I think was the best we've had in a while. And this is kind of a step down. But I still enjoyed this.
I'm shocked.
I'm fine. I mean, right? Like, oh, well, it blew my hair back. Like, nah, it's good. It's fine. For me, I like Michonne and Rick enough to where I'm like, them on screen interacting and what they have to say is like, I'm keyed in because I give a shit. I don't think this is the episode you show a friend to like win them into The Walking Dead and be like, hey, you should check out this show. Like, this isn't the one. This isn't the introductory episode.
Well, I got to be honest with you. So if this is your first time tuning in, we're going to give our opening impressions like this. Then we'll work our way scene by scene. We'll wrap with some final thoughts, probably throw a couple listener comments in there along the way. And I got to be honest with you. If this is your first time tuning in, what you don't know about us is that Matthew, my good friend Matthew, right? The other host you're listening to.
He is
a big fan of the Rishon. He ships the Rishon hard.
I predicted it, and I ship it real hard.
He loves the shit out of it. And I got to be honest with you, Matthew, right here, live on the air, I want to say that I am shocked that you weren't head over heels for this shit.
Because, I mean, there's not anything. Why I'm not head over heels is that it didn't really break new ground in this episode. Like, it was more of just kind of a shoring up where they're at right now.
Yeah.
It's visually, I actually really liked it. There's some stuff I want to talk about as far as that goes. I thought it was a really cool looking episode and some really good shots. But as far as like a plot, it was like, this was not a plot oriented episode.
Yeah.
Like until they squeezed it in at the very end.
I got you. Well, so plenty to talk about. Why don't you just dive right in? Is that all you got for your opening impressions?
Yeah, you know what? I don't have too many. Yeah, I feel like I'm gonna have more to say in my closing impressions. What about you? Do you have anything else to say that you didn't sum up in that video last night?
Oh yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I was being a ball breaker, of course. But the reality is that I found myself a little bit distracted. I actually made that. Here's how much of a jackass I am. So on our Facebook, we have a Facebook group page for The Walking Dead. And on it, I was doing a video, like a little teaser right before the episode ended. If you listen carefully to that video, you can actually hear the music.
I could.
Yeah. You can hear the music with the episode in the background. That's facebook.com/groups/LSG on TWD if you want to check it out. But yeah, I was just talking about, you know, they're just chopping shit up and fucking. Like, that's the episode. Chop, 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 fuck, fuck, fuck. And then eating some MREs. So I don't know. There's obviously more to it than that. I'm just being a wise ass. But I did find myself at one point asking, what is going on in this episode? And then at the end of it, which I know I'm jumping the gun here, but at the end of it, there is this moment where you get to the end of the level, right?
Yeah.
This is like one of the most frustrating things that happens in like games, and I hate to see it in my TV. You know, you play a game, like you do some dumb quest. Like back when I would play like a MMORPG or something like that. I never played a lot of WoW, but I played like a couple other ones.
Yeah.
The worst is when you go back to the quest and it's like, oh no, you can't. You got to go back and get the other thing. Dude. Fuck off. So they get all the way back. She's like, I need more guns. More guns. And then I was like, oh, after all that, they got to go back and get more guns. Whatever. That was just, I was like, really? They're going to get more guns? Which I'm assuming they're going to kind of fast forward there. They're probably not going to show us a whole nother gun gathering episode. Although I'm guessing Tara spills the beans on the Oceanside group.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, man, there was, I mean, it's cool. You know, Rick is a strong actor, Andrew Lincoln. I thought that the two of them together, Denai Guerrera, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Not bad, right? Them together was pretty good. I thought they did a good job. And I almost feel like it was kind of cool to see their relationship a little bit. I liked one of the underlining themes of this was something I actually tweeted about. I think I said something like, these two should just take the guns and just fucking dip. They should just bounce the fuck out and be done with all
of it. Leave my two kids.
Yeah,
just
fuck them.
All of it.
Fuck them, right? Obviously, he can't because he has kids, but I'm just saying, like, that's, you could feel that was a pervasive thought that Rick was having while he was out there.
Like, I liked just, that. I actually
right?
did like
I
that.
I liked that too. I thought that was the most interesting part of the episode, the idea that he just didn't want to go back to reality. That in this fucked up post-apocalyptic world that Rick was finding a bit of fun in this little fantasy adventure he was on with his warrior princess, which was them out there chopping shit up and fucking in a van.
Totally.
And then having full bellies and finding guns. And really, that sense of having no responsibility outside of their responsibility to themselves, that type of freedom, that break from the oppressive weight of Negan and the crushing responsibility and other hyperbolic words that he faces back at Alexandria, he could just avoid for a little while. I like that, you know? I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah. No, I did. I was on board with that aspect. That's also like the enjoyable part of this for me is the, I consider, earned relationship between Rick and Michonne. That it's a relationship I buy. You know, there's like, I remember we had a lot of problems with the whole fucking sudden drop of Rosita for Sasha with Abraham and all this stuff. Like, the relationship stuff in the show, well, like, which I mean, like, romantic relationship stuff can be kind of silly at times. But no, I really like theirs, man. I'm so still totally on board with it.
Yeah, and it was nice to see it fleshed out a little bit because we haven't seen them just be a couple. We've seen them be these two leaders that fuck once in a while, right? It's cool to see them just sort of be a couple and to goof off and laugh and smile and stuff like that. That was a humanizing element that I appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of overall how I felt about the episode this week.
So, chop, 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 fuck, 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 pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm on board.
Pretty much how it went down. So, let's dive right in, shall we? All right. So, we see Rick and Michonne executing a no-knock warrant. That's what I called it. They're just like, knock, knock. And then we just kind of see them out on their, like, little adventures. That's kind of how it starts, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, our very first shot is, like, mist in the trees, and then it's, you know, we get this shot of Michonne sitting in the van that's like parked and the doors are open and everything, and then it's just this soundless montage, you know, of music and them, you know, tearing through houses and places. I loved this fucking opener. The openers of the past couple episodes have all been really, really strong.
Yep, I agree.
Because it has this whole, you know, they're not scavenging. It's reinforcing how they're not scavenging for themselves anymore. It has that urgency of like, we have to do this or we're punished.
Right. And that's something, they've gone on runs before. The medicine run, I think very fondly of.
Yeah,
getting medicine was very important for the sick group back at cell block, whatever it was, D or something. But I do like that we get a sense of urgency once again on having to find weaponry, because they need to. It has to be found. And in between their weapon searches, they just get all sweaty in the back of a van, too. Birds squawking, music plays, they drink coffee. They bone, and she thanks them for keeping watch. They talk about winning, how they need batteries. They slaughter a few more walkers, find some more shit. There's a quick clip of them rummaging through some stuff, and there's a big stack of money that they leave behind. I love that.
Because it's right,
obviously
yeah.
purely useless at this
fucking
point.
Pointless.
They tumble around all fucking chocolate and vanilla swirl. All chocolatey and vanilla swirl all over your hand and a hot dripping down your arm. And
a sweat cocktail.
They walk through the woods. Michonne smiles. We are fighting the fight. It's better. They talk about that a little bit. And then we get a sort of break in this little opening. I'd call it kind of montage-ish.
Yeah.
And they come upon various people walking, whacking golf balls.
They're saviors. Did you catch that?
I did, because they talk about Fat Joey, right?
Fat Joey. Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing about him over here.
He's dead already. Fuck.
So Rick and Michonne steal some yummy pretzels, batteries, and a truck.
And so, you know, I had a question about this. Are we supposed to take it that they, like, fucking just pickpocketed these guys? Like, not themselves, literally, but just stole stuff from them unseen? Or did they kill these guys and take their shit?
I don't think they killed them. I think they just snatched some shit. Because they're still in the same van. They didn't actually steal the truck.
Totally.
Yeah, I think they just snatched a few things and took off.
That's funny. But you that is, I mean, like, you have to be careful about what you steal. You steal something, you know, that would be identifiable later on. And this is one of those fucking saviors that shows up on a day of a pickup. And they're like, hey, that's that fucking radio that got stolen out of my truck.
Right.
Like, oof.
Yeah, and it's crazy because one of the things that I thought was funny about this was that we get back to one of the fundamental issues I think Walking Dead suffers from is there's a lot of geographical fuckery.
Yeah.
Like, they find so much shit. We see these couple of saviors out there. They bump into some saviors, which is kind of cool because I actually like that. We actually see the fact that it was smaller than you might think. But we have this a lot. Like, oh, we've been out for a few days and we find a fucking 30 guns.
Totally.
And a lot of times stuff feels so scarce. And then they're just like, oh, we're out here. We found a shitload of guns. Like, you never really got the impression that the search for guns was super hard. That's all.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, there wasn't really an episode before this where they were already out looking for the guns and trying to come across and having trouble. Like, nah. Like, we went from them needing guns to them finding guns. Like,
right.
Pretty quick. You know, right. I guess what we're supposed to accept is the interlude of the last episode, which was at the sanctuary, was during the time they were probably, you know, that back at Alexandria, they're off looking for guns or whatever.
Sure.
But and then, when you cut right back to it, it feels quick.
It feels quick, but so they've been out for a couple days. Rick wants to stay out a couple, a day and a half more or some shit, which, I mean, you know, he's kind of pushing it, right?
Yeah. No, I was totally surprised by that. Like, even the very first time you brought that up, I was like, really? This is not the Rick I'm thinking of normally, who I feel like his highest concern at this point is we got to be back. I got to make sure, you know, we have eyes on our town. We got to make sure if saviors show up, I'm there. I'm the one who could be talking to them and all this. You know, I still imagine him having that like fatherly paternal instinct overriding all. And out here, it's like he's gotten just far enough away for that to loosen up a little.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not widely unknown that, you know, black people don't love camping as much as white people, you know? She don't want to be out here running
she's
around
like, fuck this.
In the sticky fucking sweaty woods with this jabroni. Like, come on. Let's get back to civilization for fuck's sake.
Yeah, maybe if the alternative was going back to a different tent, but I live in a house now. Fuck the woods.
She's like, I don't want to fucking run around the woods. I'm not a hillbilly like you, boy. That's it. Get the fuck back out of here. Right?
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway. So just a little more time. Come on, Sean. We can get real crazy out here in the woods. Yeah.
I mean, hell, we're hitting jackpots. Maybe we find a busted down casino. We can play some cards.
Jesus Christ.
There's gotta be some Andean casinos out here. Come on.
There's gotta be, man. There's just too much terrain out here not to be. We slam into the opening credits, and then we fucking come back, and we got Rosita doing her thing.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking old Rosita.
Fucking still... Oh, Jesus. Just can't let off. And Tara is so goddamn nice. She's so patient and nice with her. And she's still just, what? I don't give a fuck.
Dude.
My good God, woman.
Mm. Rosita, what are you doing?
Hey, Rosita, can you fucking chill for a second? Like, I get, you know, it's revealed to us by the end of the episode that she is still just dead set on, I don't even care if I die, I don't care what it leads to, I want to kill Negan. Like, he must die. Like, a vengeance above everything, and that this guy has to face retribution. That's all she cares about, evidently. And I keep wondering if this is the slow descent of her character. Like, she's going, you know, she's going to not survive the season. This is it. Because I'm also like, I don't know how does she come back from this? Like, she's already dumped so much energy into this whole thing. And it's looking like she's still pressing forward by the end of the episode. I'm like, is this the last of Rosita?
Yeah.
are there more future storylines coming for her? I'm starting to wonder.
Listen to me, white girl. I weigh 90 pounds. I fuck fools up, okay? And Tara's like, I'm pretty sure I could just pin you to the ground, you fucking chucklehead. What are you going to do? She got her hat on backwards. I'm pulling my scars out. I don't need your fucking bacitracin. Whatever the fuck you're bringing me. Get out of here.
I'm Sarah Connor. I'm Sarah Connor in Mexico right now.
Get out of here with your fucking Nirvana goddamn sweater on.
She does. You know, God, well, we've seen her already with it tied around her fucking waist.
Yeah.
All Nirvana style. I'm pretty sure that's already happened, actually.
Yeah.
God.
Absolutely. And she's like total hipster Nirvana. She's like, Bleach is the best album, okay?
That's Bleach. The best one. In Utero, there's like, they're fucking garbage.
Yeah. There. In Utero, it's fucking over. I wish he'd shoot himself. Oh, wait. Jesus Christ. Fuck.
Woof. Didn't think we'd be fucking giving it to Nirvana tonight. I didn't think that was going to come up. We found a way.
Truth be told, Bleach might be their best album. All right. So back to Nirvana and fucking... What's her name over here? Little fucking... I don't know what you want to call her. She's got her hat on backwards, and she's like... Look, I only want to know one thing, where they are.
Yeah. I mean, this scene is, like, hard to talk about because, like, yeah, she's just a fucking strident asshole. Like, that's it. Like, that's what – she is just in that path right now. I think the scene is more interesting for what it has to do with Tara, and this is that she's still – I get this feeling from Tara that she's the one who can see the cracks – as far as everybody's unity is, and is like trying really hard. Like, even she's uncomfortable coming over here and being like she doesn't want to come over here and talk to her. She knows she's just going to be a shithead to her. But she's like, but here, I'm trying to help. We got to kind of stick together. Like, let's drum up morale a little bit. Come on.
Mm.
And this is like the worst person to be talking to in that effort.
Yeah. She doesn't want to just wait. She's bummed about the lack of guns. She's a big fat grump.
Just a fucking grumpus.
I just want her to take a fucking... You know what I want her to do? I want her to go in there, grab a buzzer, just shave her head. Just shave it down, right? Just get wild. Get into some fucking wild combat. Total combat mode, man, right? You want to go in there like a warrior? Come on, you don't want to give him something to grab? You with me on this?
I'm there.
I want to see this bitch go full Furiosa.
If they do that, if they stick to their guns and go that hard with it, I'm kind of on board. But I don't think they will.
That'd be badass. Yeah, she's going to chicken out. But anyway, she doesn't want help with her scar. That's about it. She's given Tara a case of the ass. Meanwhile, Rick's snoozing away. Michonne's looking over like, God damn, that's my boy. That's my boy. I got my very own boy.
That's my own brand spanking new boy.
He's a little rough around the edges, but he'll do.
A little grimy, but boy, can he swing it around.
He's a little Rick grimy. Oh, God. Shoot me.
Oh, you're fired.
What was worse, that or the fucking CG deer?
Neck and neck. I'll have to come to that CG deer again to reconsider.
Yeah, we'll have to go to it later when I literally thought I was watching Roger Rabbit.
It's funny because even the deer at the beginning of the episode looks perfectly fine, really. It's that last one that is like, man, did you guys like hit your fucking, like you had to put out the episode. You're like, you're in the editing room. This is crunch time. And you're like, oh, fuck, we didn't hire CG guys to do the deer. Oh, shit, what are we going to do? Does anybody know the guys who fucking do the animations for Big Buck Master fucking hunting game? Like anybody, you just get them on the line. Can they just like send us a GIF that we can insert into this?
That's what they did. They just Google searched deer GIF and they cut and pasted that shit in.
That was pretty rough.
It was bad. It's pretty inexcusable, no?
Yeah, that was a weird one. Because it's like they could do it. They've done so much good, convincing, solid shit with CGI. And then every now and then they'll just have a wet fart like this. You're like, what was that?
I would have preferred if they just did some stock footage with like standard definition deer in the wood. Like a real cut, but it's an actual deer.
Even the aspect ratio changes for a second. Like it goes down. It's like black bars on your screen for a second. Just this fucking deer from the 40s. Black and white.
Yeah. The fucking sound doesn't line up. It's way louder, right? What the fuck?
Oh, whoa.
So jarring. It would have been less jarring than the cartoon deer we were subjected to.
Oh, my God. Did they edit this together on DV tapes? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It was a weird one.
That was a weird one.
So anyway,
we already got that one out of the way.
Yeah. So she grabs a suppressed 9mm, which isn't going to kill it, by the way.
I don't know. I was like, wow, way to injure that poor fucking thing so it can run off bleeding for days. Like,
and get pulled apart by coyotes.
And zombies. Awesome. Like, fuck. Come on, Michonne. You guys have a rifle in there? I guess they're on limited supplies right now. But
at least go for the 357. Man.
There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, deer takes off. Rick wakes up. He says, you a deer from before, deer.
From there. Back in a while ago, I did, you know, I liked the detail of, I almost wish they'd even gone further, but like, I liked Rick waking up at the start. Like, I feel like that's how everyone alive at this point wakes up in this world of like, peaceful slumber. Oh, God, what's trying to kill me? Like, fuck. Like,
absolutely.
Like, you're always like just jolted out of sleep. Like, I can't imagine him not being that way.
Yeah, for sure. But it was nice to see him sleep. And then, they talk about how they own a deer from before. Remember episode 14, the deer thing? That one. It was about 14 minutes in the ep. Hello? Wait, is anybody else watching this? When he's so specific about owing her a deer, in case the audience forgets. Remember? Before.
Did that actually happen? I thought they're referencing some off-screen shit.
Nah, dude. That
happened?
Mm-hmm. Remember she comes walking in with a deer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's weird how much I remember and then how much I forget.
My name is Matthew, and I do a podcast on The Walking Dead, but I don't remember.
All I know is I sure hope Eleven's back next season with fresh waffles
and THC cookies. Well, they get to the fence, and they find a school, right? They're like, what's this huge development that no one's found yet? Check it out. It's a huge fence with a shitload.
Is Marcos hanging out with you in your fucking recording area?
LSK?
It's LSK just in there, fucking worm tongue devil whispering haterade into your ear.
He's like Dream of Wormtongue. I'm like Theoden at the end.
A just question, my liege.
Fucking pale. Just lone side. You should just hate it.
In the shadows, his mouth is moving and I'm talking. Like some fucking demon from Ninja Scroll.
And you're like, well, there were parts I enjoyed on just a base level.
No, hate it. Dissect the joy out of it.
In Why case anyone are you here, Gandalf?
I'm doing better than ever.
I'm like 90 pounds. Fucking LSK's got a fucking shadow over his face just standing next to me. I'm slumped over and like, you're here trying to convince me the show is still good.
Lone Star in the chat, I will not risk open water.
It's so good.
If we haven't mentioned it already, we do record all of our podcast episodes live on Mixlr. That's what we're referencing right now. Mixlr.com/LSG-media, where one of our good friends and listeners, I think, only watches The Walking Dead at this point to just hate it.
It's fun.
It keeps him alive, I think. I think he's in an iron lung that is fueled by Walking Dead hate. He needs it. And oh, he loves to hate it. And I love to bust his balls about hating it.
Strike me down.
So true. So good. All right. So they find a huge school with a bunch of brass casings and a bunch of dead guys with fucking rifles over their shoulder. For Christ's sakes, Walking Dead. Come on.
Fuck you. I like that. I liked not necessarily the school or the thing, but I liked the situation, the idea of a situation of a bunch of soldiers that died and they're still like, I mean, the idea that a rifle stayed slung over them is a little eh, but I do like the idea of like back when Glenn found like the SWAT team dude still in the fucking armor stuff. Yeah. I'm like, that kind of stuff, like to have to pilfer it off of a still walking zombie. I'm like, ah, that's kind of cool. I like that shit.
Yeah, I got you.
Fun. It's fun time. Having fun. Damn it.
Tu patita do fun. So they get to this thing. They are looking around at the shell casings, and, you know, they see these walkers in military garb. They find serious rounds, which means serious guns.
Oh, yeah.
Something serious happened here. Have we made a point that this is serious yet? it is. And I'm not sure what happened. I mean, it'd be cool if they show like a couple of canisters of like, I don't know, sarin gas or something.
Oh, that'd be gnarly.
But these dudes are just dead, kind of walking around like, come get our guns. Come get our guns. This is like the fucking warp zone in Mario Brothers. We're like, yay, just bonus points everywhere.
It's just fucking a million coins.
Bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Yay, guns everywhere. Just fucking grab the guns, bitch. Woo, moving plot along.
Oh, fuck. I wondered for a moment when they got here and everything. I was like, is this going to be one of those times where they slowly discover the tragedy that happened here that led to this? And I'm glad they didn't do that, because that has been like a kind of a trope that this show has developed over time of like they go into a situation like a building or an area to just to get something, or, you know, they're just like on an errand, basically. And they're, you know, you're obviously ignoring dead bodies and violence and stuff because it's like, oh, that's the world you live in. But the show like slowly pieces together like what actually happened to cause this, and it's, oh, it's so sad or something. And I'm like, they didn't bother with that here. Like, it's like, ah, the whole world is covered in death. Like at this point, like you don't have to figure out the reasons behind all of it.
Right, makes sense. So they move on, and we cut over to Rosita doing a little bit of solo adventuring, as it were. And she's cruising around. She finds an old fucked up place. She thinks she sees a firearm. She approaches, and then this disgusting ass zombie bitch steps forward.
Ooh, it's a nasty one.
And then she gets after it with a meat cleaver or something, right?
Yeah. And gets into the big sack of just chicken throat pus that she had. Ugh.
Disgusting. I love that lady's real tall.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus,
hard to
creepy.
Get at the head.
Gross. Gives her a couple 1-2 slashes, the pussy bloody throat. And then Rosita's like, yeah, I grabbed a, oh, fuck, a fake gun. Shit. Yeah. See that? Come on, guys. It fools fucking Rosita. You don't think it's going to fool the cops once in a while? That's fucked up.
Oh, fuck.
That's fucked up even for me to say. So anyway. So from the roof, right? Michonne and Rick climbing roofs and shit.
They are. Yeah. They are.
So anyway, they get up there. They fucking walk around. And it's one of those gravel roofs that's got a lot of water collected on it. And they walk towards the edge of the roof. And they look and see what appears to be like a carnival ground set up. And I was just thinking we're going to see the Lost Boys or some shit here. But right. A bunch of carnival stuff. Bunch of walkers ambling around. They even got themselves a little shit Ferris wheel. By the way, those temporary carnivals they set up in mall parking lots, don't ride the fucking rides, guys, okay? You're just asking to die, to get flung from that fucking thing. And then when
Final
you try
Destination's
to,
not going to happen at Six Flags. It's going to happen there.
Yeah, then when you try to fucking file a lawsuit, you know, they just fucking vanish into the night in their gypsy caravan. You'd never find them again. They just vanish. Right?
Gypsy caravan.
I don't know.
Their magic old-timey wagon that they load everything into somehow.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're fucking got the thinner curse on you. I don't know. Something like that.
A loop. It's just fucking full of references this,
what's
this
dumping
episode.
It's just a metaphorical. I don't know. Jesus. What do we do? I'm having a fun time. You having fun?
Having a good time.
All right, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
That's it.
We'll still get our participation trophy at the end of this episode. Fuck. But no, so, I actually, again, I like, you know, fuck it. I like seeing Rick and Michonne fucking smiling. And yeah, they fall through the roof and it's silly, but I fucking liked it.
I don't mind it.
I like their silly, happy times.
I also don't mind the carnival setup. That's very intriguing to me. First of all, I love carnivals. I like the idea of a dark carnival, like something wicked this way comes. I love that
shit.
Oh,
totally. Yeah.
I love the creepy carnival master. Weird mirrors. People fucking disappearing in the goddamn mazes and shit in some fucking gypsy vampire bitch seducing you into a tent. I love all of that stuff. I think it's awesome. You know, I like it. There's an X-Files episode like this. I think they call it Humbug or something. And it's just like a bunch of wacky carny. And I don't know. I like the mysterious and weird nature of the carnival. I've sort of been, it's captured my imagination since the boardwalk in The Lost Boys. I'm not even joking. I just like that. It's cool. There's something dark and mysterious and seductive about it. So it was cool. It was cool to see that as what was going to be a setting for this episode. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like this reveal of it. I at first also when they were standing up here and she pulls out her, you know, this long rifle, and I thought the plan was going to become, oh, let's just from here pick out the ones who are, you know, zombies with fucking rifles slung over their shoulders and take them out, and then all you gotta do is, you know, run over there or even distract the ones that are still walking and just pick off you know, the guns off the bodies.
Sure.
And I was like, that would be cool, but then she shot like the fucking game and I was like, oh, all right. He just wanted to fuck around.
Yeah, is that what it was? I thought she just sucked at shooting.
No, she was trying to hit the little, like, it was like one of those shooting game booths, and she, like, tried to hit the target there. I think she got it.
Oh, she did get it. Gotcha. Okay, so. That makes more sense, because I thought they had established that she was not a great shot. Remember when she was, or did she get better?
Maybe it's that she
Yeah,
got
you're
better.
Right. I'm watching it again. She does literally shoot the bottles that are in the carnival thing.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Cracking off fucking 308 rounds, by the way, is not a quiet endeavor.
Right?
But yeah, I like how they fall. Are you okay? They laugh, giggle, 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 laugh, laugh, laugh. And this is a sign, right? This has to be. Rick says it is. They find a ton of supplies, MREs. They laugh some more, and the sun begins to set.
And they see it.
Did you notice in the ticket booth there was a walker?
Hmm.
It's really brief. It's really brief. It's also it's kind of weird. Like it makes me wonder what happened here. Like as the sun sets, you see a walker like at a ticket booth fucking around.
And that might even be some Romero homages. I remember there's a ticket booth walker in like Day of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
There's a shot of that. And I mean, yeah, fucking Nicotero was like raised on Romero and was on his sets and helping him with, you know, him and Tom Savini doing all the makeup and stuff.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It's been on for 7 seasons, but every now and then they still will do even like just a visual throwback or, you know, an homage to the things where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a shot from the Romero movie.
Yeah. What do you think of consistently using like Greg Nicotero in a directing setting? Like, what do you think about? Do you think it's good to continually use some of these established guys? Like, what's your thoughts on that? It's more of a passing thought. I doubt you've given it much thought at all. Yeah.
As far as this show goes, I think it's good to have people like Nicotero for one to make it consistent in a certain way like understanding the overall feel of the show, the tone of the show. But yeah, at the same time, you don't want it to become Greg Nicotero's show.
Right. I got you. Yeah. I was thinking about it. I don't have enough of an opinion on it yet because I don't think the directing is really an issue in the show most of the time.
Yeah.
For me, it's just some of the writing things that I go, but anyway, let's talk about Rosita going to see Father G.
Fucking Father G. How did this happen? How did it? He's like vying for like a good upper character at this point. I'm like, fuck, I'm so into him.
He's awesome.
He's so fucking good in this scene.
He's great. He doesn't. Oh, I loved it. It's funny because he wouldn't have been 2 seasons ago. He would have been terrible in the scene. We were so annoyed with him.
Yeah, 100%. But my favorite line in all of this, where she's like, you just go out and fucking tell people how to live their lives and what they should be doing. And he's like, no, I just talk to people who come here like you.
Right.
You came in here to come rant at me. You didn't have to come here. Like, yeah. Fucking yeah. Love him.
And that's what she does. She goes there. I didn't find any guns in case you were wondering. totally wasn't wondering. You
totally wasn't. I was minding
psychopath.
My own business.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, I was out there all day, not a damn one. Thing is, I had a gun I was going to use to kill Negan. Had I done that, I had planned to kill him. I'd be dead right now. Maybe I'd be a bit dead too, but who gives a damn? Great. Nothing more awesome than a suicidal loner that's on your team. That's sure not going to backfire. God. A suicidal loner on your team.
Yeah. Who's willing to, because like, and again, she's already seen this happen of like when she shot at Negan and it didn't kill him. They didn't just turn around and kill her. They're like, all right, time for someone else to die. Like, your group is paying for this now. Like, it's not just you. This is going to come down on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, fuck. Like, you kill... This is one of the situations also where I feel like you pick off Negan. They actually, let's say this whole fucking wild goose chase of a mission they start themselves on at the end actually carries through and actually works, and they're able to, like, land a sniper shot on Negan from a fucking half a mile away and kill him. I still think you have enough of a group there. Like Simon could still rally the troops to be like, let's go get revenge for our fucking fallen leader. And like, even though that unity might not last and it'll start to, you know, fracture and divide, I think they've got a week under their belt of unity and they're probably just going to run straight to Alexandria and fucking torch the place. Like, just ransack you. Mm. So I'm like, it doesn't even matter. Like, you'd have to, like, get them all. You'd have to get... You know, the whole leadership of the place.
Yeah. Part of me feels like, in the circumstances that they find themselves in, that this Rosita situation would become a fucking meeting-worthy incident. Like,
right.
You, in my opinion, I feel like this is too... I feel like the whole group is too cavalier about this whole thing, and nobody's really talking about it. Nobody's really talking about Rosita and her fucking shitty attitude and the fact that she took a shot at him. Like, this never been addressed.
That's actually a really good point.
Like,
I can't
come on. You guys need to
all.
Get together and pull her aside and say, look, do you understand? And she's going to be doing her fucking rebellious shit. And you're going to tell her to knock it the fuck off. And you guys can yell and fight. And then maybe she can cry and fucking get over it and get back on board with the fucking group here. Because when you're in a situation like this, you can't be... This behavior is so destructive and dangerous to an already tense situation. Like, you're going to kick off the war. You're going to ride out alone and get yourself fucking killed. Like, what? Don't you understand how Negan is already? don't you understand, like, the way this guy, like, the way the repercussions work is that he comes for you, Rosita. So why don't you sit tight? Because once you guys go to war with Negan, everyone's lives are on the line, right? Yeah. But don't you want everyone to be ready for their lives to be on the line and you all strike together? Don't you want to make that decision as an entire group instead of fucking one off doing your bullshit like her and Richard? You're going to get fucking people killed, you dumb. And for what? Yeah. To do what? To cause no damage to them.
Yeah, to kill one guy. Because at the end of the day, Negan is still just one guy. And I do think it's accurate that they fall apart without Negan, but not the next day. Like, this is still a big force of people with a lot of weapons and resources that could put a hurting on you. Like, it's
right.
It's not going to change that, you know, in the moment that it happens. And yeah, man, it's just so fucking reckless.
Yeah, and I just, like, in like, there are times where I feel like the Walking Dead writing is really strong, and then there are times where I just feel like these conversations aren't happening in a way that I would imagine that they would happen. Like, I just imagine somebody going, Rosita, do you understand what you're doing? Don't you understand what you did when you did that shot? Do you understand why Eugene is gone? Don't you understand what is going on here? Like, you're so fucking self-destructive. Like, nobody talks like real people talk. They just go all whimsical and talking about this and making weird esoteric fucking points about life and the universe and fucking bullshit apocalyptic poetry. Nobody's just saying, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? Listen to yourself. Like, they don't talk like people. And that's what pisses me off about the show sometimes. They talk about a writer trying to be crafty in writing cool dialogue. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like,
lacks
totally.
Subtext. It's so, I don't know. It's just, I feel like people would be talking differently in these situations, but maybe that's just me. What the fuck do I know? I'm just a jabroni with a
No, I think that's a pretty, I got no response. I'm like, yeah, that's fucking true. I can think
you know,
of
like,
scenes
of dialogue.
They
don't talk right. Like people talk. Like, if you're in a group, with a bunch of people, and you had a friend in that group, and he was jeopardizing the group, you wouldn't be like, oh, Tara, hey, Tara, go fucking tell somebody that Rosita's a goddamn wrecking ball, and she's going to get people fucking killed.
Right. That, like, you've already seen her try to do it?
She
like,
tried
just
to
talk.
Shoot the fucking guy. Nobody's going to talk about this. You're going to go fuck in the woods? Fuck off.
Well, I did pencil in a meeting to go talk to Rosita about not trying to fucking kill our dictator overlord, but I think I'm just going to go get my dick wet in the woods.
Hey, Rosita, we got to talk about your KPIs. Says here on teamwork, you're scoring real low among your peers. Oh, hold up. Got to get my dick sucked. I'll be right back.
Let me go get you a Myers-Briggs, and I still do need them TPS reports by Friday.
Oh, my God. Here's a coffee mug we got. It says hugs on it. We thought maybe this would be nice for you.
Pulled it out of a dead child's fucking curled up hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Found it out there in the woods.
In the chat.
in lulls in the sex.
In the chat, Karen says, I don't think anyone would listen to... I don't think Rosita would listen to anyone. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Good, then fucking go. Leave. Get your backpack,
well, she does.
Your stupid fucking gun, your dumb water, and get the fuck out of here. And by the way, call Negan, tell him a crazy bitch is coming. Fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, nobody, like, talk to her, man. She needs leadership. She's fucking lost. Like, this isn't... Yeah. This is not somebody behaving in a rational manner, right?
And you know what? I wouldn't say it's a counterpoint to her being like this. I think that this is still this is weaker writing in the show when it comes to her. But I do like how Abraham and Glenn's death are actually having, you know, palpable effects. And I think this is a direct response of that. Like, even though Rick was the leader, it's like she still, you know, it was Abraham first in her life, and I think still always looked to him, you know, more closely. And so I think I do like that it's his loss of leadership specifically, the more personal one. Even though the relationship went to shit, she still probably thought of him in that older way. I do like that that's what's had her lost.
Right.
That it's like there hasn't replaced that level of, like, intimate, you know, direction in her life. She can't do it.
What do you think about the end of this conversation she has with Father G, where he just says something along the lines of, anything's possible to your heart stops beating, certainly more than yelling at a fool. Kind of saying, like, go do your thing. Like, what do you, what's your take on what he's telling her here?
That's a good point. Yeah, I, for one, I'm surprised that he didn't give her a little more of a patience thing. I want somebody to say that to Rosita, of like, dude, we all want the thing you want. we all want to rise up and kill Negan. Like, we're all on the same page. We want to do it in a methodical, well-planned way that'll actually destroy Negan and all of his followers. You want to just haphazardly throw a rock at him and hope it hits. Like, mm-hmm. You're the reckless one. We have the same goal. Just fucking chill out for a minute. But yeah,
Doesn't seem so, does it?
But that's not what he says. Like, it is very much a don't give up, just hold fast, but also do what you got to do. Like, it's got, like, in a very poetic and wise way of just being like, you can still affect change. As long as you're alive, as long as you're not. I think, you know what it is? He's addressing the whole, I think he's cutting past the whole, oh, I know you want to kill Negan, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you basically want to kill yourself. Like, correct. this is a long roundabout way of you fucking ending your own life. Of like, you want to kill Negan and you don't care if you die. You want to die.
Sure.
And I think that's what he's trying to get more to that point of like, don't just off yourself. Like, don't just throw yourself in front of this oncoming disaster.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. It reminds me of Battlestar Galactica Reimagined, when Gaius has a certain discussion with a certain woman. Oh. And then that certain woman is like, I think I'm going to put a pistol in my mouth.
Ha! Yeah.
It had that hallmarks of that conversation here. And I thought, holy shit, like, is he sort of just saying, fucking go die. Go do what you're going to do then. Like, I'm not going to stop you. Like, he's not, like, pleading with her, but I like that. He's not, Father G sort of moved into this, doesn't want to tell people how to live, more just show wisdom and choice.
Totally. Right? Yeah.
And he's saying, well, anything's possible. So, and maybe he's just making her sit with that. I feel like somebody in her state of mind might take that as, okay, I'll go kill Negan then.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. No,
his problem. That's fucking her problem. If she can't glean wisdom and restraint from what he's saying, that's really up to her. And by the way, go clean yourself up.
Yeah, you're
walking there with,
like,
fucking zombie blood all over you. Knock it off. Grow up.
Hose off.
Christ. What are you trying to teach us? Anyway, back to Rick and Michonne. They slice into some MRE, some beef breakfast, and turkey breast in a can. Yummy. Check this out. I hear this tastes real nice. And they have a little candlelight fucking dinner. Right?
Oh, and, yeah. Real cute.
Real cute. And they got a mouthful of MREs, sucking them down. And so tomorrow
This is Michonne bringing up the long future. What comes after all of this? I did like the way she brought it up, because it was still had a lot of faith in what they're doing, of like, all right, so when we do put this whole, you know, coalition of ragtag garbage people and Alexandrians together and we go fucking take down Negan, what next? What are we doing? Sure. Yeah, I like that she pauses to force him to look that far in the future, because I think it's easy to just be like, this is so overwhelming, I got to keep our head down and just do what we got to do right now. But I like her already thinking about this, and you can tell Rick fucking doesn't want to at all.
Right. Yeah, it's like when you're fucking just having a great evening, right? You go out, you have some fucking wine, and then some dumb conversation about some bullshit you don't want to figure out now comes up and just ruins the whole night, right? Like that.
Great night. Great date night.
Awesome. Cool. Glad we're talking about this now. Can I get one fucking night? One night.
One night, Deborah. One fucking night.
How fucking hard I work in a factory for you and the kids. How fucking hard.
And then, well, so much for that. And we kill Negan and anyone else we have to win. And then what happens after that? And Rick's like, keep going. And Michonne's like, yeah, but for real, like, what after that?
Well, I mean, as long as advertiser dollars coming in, we just fucking keep going.
Roll. Here's part of the problem, though. Michonne has already caught the white man's disease, right? She's been shacking up with the white man, got a little of that white man's saliva on her lips. Now she's got the fucking white man's disease.
of
what are we going to do?
Spread my will across the world.
That's right. She caught the white man sickness. All she wants to do now is fucking get her fucking white king man next to her and go reorder the fucking re-education camp, the population, right? She fucking caught that white man sickness, and I feel bad for her. I hope she can get cured of it. God,
yeah.
She's like, we're gonna have armies, and
we'll have a legacy, our manifest
kids.
Destiny that'll last forever. It's like, oh, fuck, Michonne.
Can we crush all the smaller groups and make them subject themselves to our will? Can we do that?
Huh? I never thought I'd have to say this, but I think you need to go break off a piece of ebony, Michonne. Fuck.
Give Ivory a rest. It's turning you into a fucking monster.
God, this episode.
The fucking white man sickness. And then we can put them in education camps, right, Rick? And then we can make them fill out little pieces of paper and they can give us tribute and they can do that stuff for us, right? We can do that. You should do that, Rick. Fuck, man.
Jesus.
Fucking white people are insidious. Right? If it's not smallpox, it's the white man sickness. It's one of the two going to get you.
One of them going to get you one how. But no, I do, like, I was joking earlier, though, but this is kind of like the micro scene of the show going, what the hell is next for this show? Like, what, I feel like they're acknowledging it here of like, yeah, what are we going to do next? Like, it can't just have Dragon Ball Z syndrome forever of like, and we killed that really big, bad, powerful guy. One even bigger, badder, powerful guy fucking shows up forever and ever and ever.
This one's
like,
7 feet tall. With two eye patches.
Start throwing around numbers that have lost all meaning. Like, his power's 1,000. His power's 10,000. His power's 100 million. It's like, oh my God, what does it even mean anymore? Like, how much harder can he punch than that guy? Did he punch a hole in the universe? Like, what's left?
He can dunk standing still. It's real powerful in the apocalypse.
Real powerful.
So but anyway.
And I think, yeah, I like that the show is even kind of saying that they're wrestling with that idea. And I like Rick being uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's basically saying, you know, if we are going to start the long walk back toward, like, actual civilization and we fight off people like Negan and we get rid of them and we have the space to do this now where we're not just constantly on guard, guns pointed out, we can actually kind of start to reconstruct a more complex society, it's going to be fucking back to the old game of politics and leadership and all of these things that we've kind of, in a way, have gotten a brutal vacation from. Like, as awful as it is, it is very straightforward. Like, there's bad guys who want to oppress us, and like, well, let's fucking fight back. That's that. And you're at war now. It's pretty straightforward. It's black and white. And it's like, you can tell Rick is uncomfortable marching back to that place of, all right, down into the nitty-gritty disagreements. How are we going to use this land? Well, I want to use part of it. I want to use part of it, too. And, like, negotiating and all this shit. You can tell he's like, oh, fuck. I got to do that. Shit.
I mean, what are we going to do with the fields, right? I'm going to put people in those fields to make them work.
Oh, fuck. I got to read about tort laws now. Shit.
How many meal breaks a man get after 4 hours?
Yeah. None, Rick. Not a one. I got the white man's disease. No unions.
They're lucky if we can hose the water at day.
Michonne's gone off the fucking deep end.
Damn, Michonne.
Jesus
Michonne
Christ.
Mussolini.
Look, if she starts in with that Italian accent, I'm fucking out of here.
Everybody run. She's the dictator and she has a sword.
But anyway, they, Heavy is the head that wears the crown, I guess. So Michonne's going to, they kiss, they're going to eat 5 more dinners. Rick says they can take their time. Rick doesn't want to go back right away, of course. Rick shows Michonne that there's chili and mac and cheese together. What?
Daryl showed it to me.
We cooked it on his electric fucking stove thing. So Rick doesn't want this fantasy to end. He contemplates on the edge of his bed, And then we get a pretty bad scene coming up next, buddy. It's not a good one.
Wait, which scene is this?
Tara and the baby. And you know what? Fuck you, Walking Dead. I know what you're trying to do here. You're trying to put a cute little baby with her little fucking blonde sauce girls in here and make melt my fucking heart to try to push this dog shit dialogue down my throat. That's your chaser. Cute baby face is your fucking shit dialogue chaser. Fuck you. I'm not falling for it. This is bad. This is bad shit. I don't even care about your little Goldilocks kid.
Oh, fuck.
That's brutal.
Fucking get out of there, Marcos. You stop whispering them. Stop whispering your demon lies.
Late is the hour in which this conjurer shows himself.
No, but for real, it's silly. It's a silly scene. I'm sorry.
It is. Yeah. No, I remember,
you can help
like,
me out. Maybe you can bring me around on it. She's,
no, to be honest,
she's just so on the nose, like, well, if I say something about the guns, then the guns will be a thing. And then, like, if we won't, and then we'll fight. And then, like, they'll be fighting and killing and the guns and them. I think that's actually word for word what it is.
Yeah. No, and I that's the thing. I'll fucking say, I first time watching this episode, I paused and rewound and like watched a little bit of this again. I was like, is this what I'm fucking thinking it? Like, I was like, what is happening right now? It's just expository barfing in front of a kid.
Yes. Okay. An expository barf fest.
Yeah.
This kid
and
does
I
not
like
deserve
I like
that.
The idea, like I can imagine a better version of this scene in my head of like her holding the baby and like, you know, being a little with like a little more of a nervous energy and like she's, you know, not just giving a whole speech, but just maybe saying like something over and over again of like, oh, if I tell him, so many people are going to die. There's no way I tell him. I just can't, like, you know, you can tell she's just saying enough for us to know she's wrestling with something, not this whole like speech. Like, yeah, it was kind of weird.
And then, you know, remember the episode, guys, what episode it was, right? She actually literally just points out the episode. Stupid.
When I go back with my friend, when I went with my friend Heath, who we haven't seen since then.
Where do you suppose Heath is? You think he's going to come up again shortly? I just don't know, Judith.
He's actually the lead of the 24 now. He's a lot busier.
I think they paid him more, honestly.
You know they just straight headhunted him. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, all you've got to do in that show is fucking ride in a van.
And be kind of shitty at fighting.
Don't you want to be the lead? Don't you want to be new Black Jack Bauer? Like, come on. So much more cool.
You can be new Black Jack Bauer or like generic black guy nerd, unthreatening with glasses guy that every fucking hipster wants to bang. You want to be that guy, or you want to be cool with Black Jack Bauer and fucking kill terrorists and shit?
And also, isn't just like to pause for a second, Black Jack Bauer, like just as a name, doesn't that sound fucking dope?
Black Jack Bauer should be what his name is.
Yeah.
Like Black Jack, like one word. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's Black Jack Bauer.
Black Jack.
Oh, it's good.
It's good.
Fuck, that's a comic book character name right there.
I think you're right. So anyway, blah blah blah. What makes our life more important than theirs? Okay, she's wrestling with her morality. I get it. Next. We go back to the fucking carnival of the night. Rick and Michonne make their way to the outskirts of where the Walker slaughter will take place. They count them down. Rick is like, you can kill eight, okay? I'll go play grab ass with one and jump in a car.
It's so funny that we've already been making Lord of the Rings jokes, and here we are, a fucking Legolas and Gimli situation. Fucking counting them on the wall.
That one is mine! 37, 38... Check out my flowing golden locks.
I'm going to die in that pirate movie.
Not one woman over 18 wants to bone me.
Oh, fuck. Damn, that's too true.
Going
punchable in the belt.
Yeah, yeah. If you're over 21 and you want to bang Legolas over Viggo Mortensen, then just fucking lose my number. So they slice and dice. Rick starts to pull a walk out of the windshield piece by piece. That was kind of neat.
That's one of these things.
That's
where
some Nicotero,
like,
shit, right?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I'm like, the physical effects of the show, as much as every now and then we get a total CGI fart, the physical effects are always so good. Like, I'm still impressed by it, man. The 12-year-old in me is still like, look at that shit. How'd they do it?
Michonne comes to help Rick push the car because she's slicing and dicing like fucking Toshiro Mifune. References. Gunfire erupts from a walker that's hung up on like terrain, like the fence. That was kind of unsuspecting. Just that crack of the rifle. I'm like, holy shit, somebody's opening fire on them. That was a genuine shot.
No, I had that moment too where I was like, oh, fuck, did they actually just get spotted? And as you could be like, oh, that was really contrived and lame. I liked it.
I didn't mind that.
Absurd chaos of it, because like weird shit can just happen like that, of like something that like you think is crazy. Oh, God, like now the situation is escalated. Oh, wait, no, just a dumb zombie like tangled up in something.
Yep, I don't mind that. So they are in a car that gets mobbed. They simply go on the sunroof and just dance away.
Yep.
It's funny. Last time we saw our heroes trapped in a car, we thought they were going to have to sacrifice themselves to die, right? Wasn't that when Morgan saved Daryl? They were in that car with Aaron.
That's true.
Mobbed by a car. Now they're like, nah, we'll just jump over. I mean, it's way less zombies. I'll give them that.
Way less. And I don't think they had a sunroof in that car.
So,
In this one, they just punch out of that.
That's true. They get to work with Hatchet and Sword. Like a goddamn D&D adventure.
I know. It's dope.
I like it. The gate holding them back breaks. Michonne and Rick fall back. The mob presses forward. Rick grabs some kind of hook weapon. Terrible weapon, by the way.
Yeah. No, that...
Compared to your hatchet? What are you doing with that shit weapon?
Right. Like, there was this hesitant moment earlier when he first saw that the walker, you know, that was shoved through the windshield in the car. And obviously, he didn't try to strike at it because it had this helmet on. He was like, ah, fuck, I can't get through it. And he, the first one he hits with that, like, spindly thin little hook thing is a fucking zombie with a helmet. And I was like, you really thought, like, what?
No, it's whatever. That was a little silly. So, anyway, they get to some clanging and banging, brother.
They hang out behind the fence of the big Ferris wheel in Call of Duty 2.
And then Rick goes, oh, my God, I see a glitch in the Matrix.
Yes. Somebody had deja vu.
He sees the cartoon deer, so he climbs a Ferris wheel, and he's going to try to take a shot at it with his Colt Python. You notice they rarely find deers with racks? Like, they always find doe, never bucks.
True. I think the last time we saw a buck on the show is when Otis shot through it and got Carl in season 2.
Yeah, kind of weird, right?
Weird.
I only know because, well, in a post-apocalyptic world, anything's game, but I do know like a lot of hunters just don't shoot doe. You know, they let them go. They shoot buck more than doe. But obviously, if you're starving to death, that's a different story. But I feel like we're always seeing doe. And then it apparently is a ghost because it just runs through the metal and it tries to run away. And then it doesn't run away and they catch it. I mean, this is the shittiest survival instinct on a deer I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cartoon deer. Like,
it's a cartoon deer that's made by some fucking Cheeto fingers.
Dude, it fucking escaped Toontown and now it's in the real world and it doesn't know what to do.
It can't actually see the people and the zombies.
It just got away from Christopher Lloyd trying to melt it in green goop and now it's got to run into real life zombies and it has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, anyway, Michonne is like, oh my God, they're eating Rick, but they're not. They caught that stupid deer because it's dumb. It's the worst deer ever. If these guys would just get a couple knives, they could just run deer down, apparently. Because the walkers catch them, and they are, like, shambling and slow as fuck. Michonne's like, oh, no, my dreams are conquering and driving my enemies before me and reinventing the wheel and reordering society have been lost. And, like, when she thinks her white boyfriend is dead, like, the spell starts to break.
Right.
And she gets sweating. She's like, oh, wait a second, I'm under a spell. Like at the end of Conan, she's like, I'm under a spell and the spell's breaking. But then she sees Rick, who does his little magic trick, and she's like, oh, fuck, the spell regains control over her.
The spell is back.
The reordering society comes back. She catches her sword mid-air, another Conan thing, and she turns and slices and dices. And, that's it.
I won't lie, though. I fucking like this whole sequence. This whole scene, I am actually really into her. Her not just thinking for a moment, not getting one of those fake outs of like, oh, did they get my ball? Oh, no, he's fine. Like, no, she had to sit with this for a second. Like, had a full reaction to this happening.
Sure.
Like, this is what would have happened. Like, this is the Michonne we would, you know, in the alternate universe where Rick dies in the show and Michonne is left and Michonne sees it happen, we get a glimpse of, like, this is what she, I mean, fuck, that would have ended her in this moment.
Sure.
She's ready to drop her sword and drop to her knees and just fucking relent to being devoured alive. And I like that. And I like that that doesn't go away. It's not like that bullshit, like, shake off of, like, oh, never mind, he's fine, so I'm fine now again, too. Like, no, it's like you did endure the actual reaction of seeing them die. Like, that's what she believed.
I think that's an important distinction to make in this scene, because I know that people are, they tease the scene. But I think it's important to remember that we know Rick isn't dead, and never for a second do I ever feel like they're trying to convince us of that. We just want to see Michonne's reaction to Rick possibly being dead.
That's it.
Because we want to, because that plays into, like, how she feels and what she says later in the episode, and in one of her fears, in that, in this war, this is a very real possibility that one of them doesn't get out of this, or both of them.
Yeah.
And that's something that they have to kind of come to grips with.
Although, the only thing that does bug me in the scene is that when Rick grabs the sword, he fucking hits one in the face with the handle and then throws it to her. I was like, really, man? You had the chance to actually use her sword and you didn't do a fucking a samurai move. You didn't even go for it. You silly fuck.
So they find just a bunch of fucking guns, right?
They do. Like, they do. Collect them all up.
Like maybe this was a gun show that went bad. I don't know.
Right.
There's tons of guns everywhere.
Yeah.
Like a variety of guns too, which is also weird.
I'm going on down to the county gun fair.
Yeah. So they collect guns after their warm embrace, and then they're driving home. And this time Rick's driving. They have plenty of supplies, and Michonne is quiet. So Michonne's wrestling with the idea of what exactly her feelings for Rick are. I think this is kind of important.
Yeah.
Her. I think this is an evolutionary step in their relationship, in that obviously they love and care about each other. They're comrades. But the idea of losing Rick is something that now is a distinct possibility that she's thinking about. It's on her mind.
Yeah.
Enough so to where he pulls over and they talk.
Yeah. And I do really like this reversal of, you know, for a while it was Rick, you know, who was the downtrodden one, and Michonne was trying to talk him up, and we have to slowly find our confidence in and find a way to fight them back. And now it's her going, oh, I don't think I can risk what needs to be risked in order to do this. And he's the one having to tell her. And I think he's come quite a long way here. I like this revelation of him being like, nope, I might die too. Like that. Like it could be you. It could be me. And if I lose you, I mean, it takes some guts to look into the eyes of your lady and be like, and I could lose you and keep going. Like he says that, like he's like, and but I respect it because he's saying like, I think he's honestly thinking in the larger mode, kind of like what Michonne was talking to him the night before about, like, this is about the future of humanity. Like now, I'm actually thinking about what is the future of the human race at this point, and like we are a part of keeping that alive. Like we are on the vanguard of the actual battle of keeping humanity alive, and that's what he's thinking more about now, of not just me and my kids and my family and my girl. We might be it, man. There might only be a couple more thousand of us out there, or a couple, you know, 100,000 people on the earth. I mean, who knows? And I like this, hearing this from Rick.
I gotta tell you something, Michonne. Honestly, if you died, it's okay. It's okay. Because I tell you what, Rosita likes an older man, and she's in good need of some counseling right now. So, worst case, say you do get ripped up, it's okay. I'll press on. I will press on right over to that little spicy Latina, and I'll see what's going on with her.
That's what he's saying, basically. And she's like, cool, I'll bone him.
He's like, you can fuck King Ezekiel, it's fine, I would too. That's
go, that works. Fine. That works. Anyway, I like it a lot. It's a great conversation. It's pretty intense. It's pretty heavy to think about. I also think it tackles an idea that we don't think about much as an audience, because we're pretty confident Rick doesn't die in The Walking Dead.
Dude.
Yes. Right? We're pretty confident that Rick doesn't die in The Walking Dead, and I think it's cool to hear them both talk about this, because even though we feel that way, it shouldn't be an automatic guaranteed thing for the characters to think that.
Oh, totally not.
Even though the meta aspect of this is that we know he's not going to die, but the characters shouldn't think that. And it should be a real, the real threat of the loss of Rick is something that we've never seen the group really grapple with.
Although I fucking gotta say, man, I don't know if this thought went through your mind. I had an honest moment of like, is this the show laying out, putting a seed in for the possibility of doing some real gutsy shit where fucking Rick dies and is out of the show for like the last season and a half or two seasons and Michonne is the main character, like with Carl and everybody else. Like she steps into the lead. I'm like, that would be some gutsy out of nowhere shit where I'm kind of like, damn. I don't want that, but I would actually be impressed if they did it. I'd be like, holy shit, you killed Rick. And Michonne steps into the fucking lead. Like, that would be some crazy shit.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. I think it would be really brave of Hollywood to kill off the white man to have a woman, a black woman, no less, take over the group and lead them into the
Black
promised
Samurai
land.
Woman. I'm there. I'm in
that
it.
Would
black
be, that would be a very...
And they renamed the show to Black Samurai Woman. Dude, it's no longer very, even The Walking Dead.
Very bold and risky for Hollywood to make that. I'm being an asshole. I would actually go, holy shit, I did not expect that. And I think that would be a ballsy and strong play by The Walking Dead. I wouldn't expect it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm actually, you're asking me to lay down my cash on the fucking betting pool, I'd be like, I don't know. I'll put $5 on that. Like, I'm not like, I don't really think that's going to happen, but that'd be some gutsy shit.
It'd be gutsy. Yep. For sure. I don't know if that's the plan. I don't know anything about the comics, so I couldn't tell you, but it would be pretty, I don't even know if the comics are being done. Are they done writing the comics?
No, they're still just ongoing.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck
and also, man. I think people are way more. This is a whole other topic, and we don't got to get into it now. But I think people are way more forgiving of shit that happens in the comic than in the show. Like, I'm sure just as wild and dumb, crazy, unbelievable shit happens in a comic, but because it's a comic, people are like, "That's fine." But then they
but
see
that,
it. In
but doesn't that
real
make
life.
Sense though? Because it's
but,
a different.
But
medium.
If it's a comic that's saying this is a, you know. It's like it's a grounded comic. Then nobody has superpowers or anything. They're not saying, you know, this isn't in the Marvel universe they're in. They're still saying this is the real world, but we're just, you know, this is a comic book of this situation versus a TV show depicting the situation. I think it's because it's real people. People like don't have the same suspension of disbelief, you know?
Right.
Whereas, like, they see some crazy shit in a comic and they're like, oh, that's cool though, because it's, you know, it's in the comic. And not, the same thing happens on the show and people are like, that's stupid.
But I think, I don't know if that's necessarily unprecedented for you to look at a comic a certain way and a TV show a certain way, even if it's based on a comic that's not involving superpowers. I just feel like the comic book medium maybe lends itself more to larger than life nonsense. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're not. Obviously, look at The Watchmen, one of fucking Time's top 50 books or some shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that. I think they're just different storytelling mediums in general. The way you look at a frame, the way you you take in the story of a comic, the way you look at the frames, the way you read the comic bubbles, the way the issues are done. I just think that it's different than a show for some reason. Like, it's a different medium. You can't deny that, right? They're definitely one, you know, plays or plays, TV shows or TV shows, films or films, books or books. Comic books are comic books, graphic novels are graphic novels.
But then there's also
novels.
The whole, I think the thing that gets under my skin and annoys me is how there is such a culture in comic books of like the comic book purists of like, they shouldn't change anything. It should be exactly what it is from the book. Why would they change any of this, you know, for the TV show or the movie? They want it to be like exactly the same. And then somebody recreates a comic book, you know, frame by frame on a film. And they'll be like, that seems unrealistic now that I see it in film. That's stupid.
Like, yeah.
Oh, fuck
so,
you. You wanted to fucking have your cake and eat it too, you little shit.
So I'm definitely with you on that. I just had a conversation like this with a couple of friends of mine who are very much like comic book purists. And we got in this long debate about like Aquaman and the way Aquaman looks. And I was like, I think he looks awesome. Now, this is before I saw him like riding a Harley and like drinking beer. But like when I just saw the teaser of him underwater, I was like, whoa, he looks fucking cool. And people are like, no, it's fucking bullshit. That's not how Aquaman looks. Like, and there are people who get really upset about that. They're like, why couldn't they just made him a fucking blonde guy like he's in the comics? And they get really pissed off about that. And it's funny because I think that's just a matter of taste. Like, to me, I don't give a fuck what Aquaman looks like. And I think I think there are two conversations here. I think there's one just saying, accept the fact that a comic book and a film and a comic book and a TV show and a comic book and a novel and a comic book and a play are all different mediums and how you can still tell stories. That's one conversation. This other conversation is that I hate when they change little things in the book, like Rick's hair or who dies or this hand or that fucking gun or the name of this dog or this guy's dick. Like those little details.
Mother dick, yeah.
I think to some people they do really matter, and to some people they just don't matter. But I do think that I think in certain situations I think we would be, I think like it would upset. Like I when I watched Jared Leto, I was like, this is not the Joker I care about. And I'm not saying that's a bad performance, but I'm very hellbent on Heath Ledger's Joker. And is that me being a purist? I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it just comes down to a matter of taste. Like, oh, Rick wouldn't say that, or his hair's a little bit different, or, you know, for me, if it was like the fucking Dark Elf trilogy and the Dark Elves didn't have fucking silver hair and they made them blonde, I'd be like, well, that's fucking dumb. Why would you do that? Like, I could see myself saying that in certain situations. So, like, yeah. I don't want to be a total hypocrite about it. You know what I mean? But, oh, yeah. But
well, I think there's overlap for sure.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from for sure on that. But, yeah, I just think, I guess I just think the way a story unfolds in a comic is just different the way it does on TV. And that's why you have to change some things. But you're always going to have people yell and scream about why was that thing changed. It doesn't make any sense, you know. That's just the way it goes, man.
Of course.
Of course. But anyway.
Alrighty. Where are we?
Rick and Michonne. She don't want him to die. She's nervous. You asked me what kind of life we had, just surrendering. It wasn't a life. What are we doing now? Making a future. That's living. You showed me that. You can lose me. I can lose you. We can lose our friends. It's not about us anymore. It's about the future. It's if it's me that doesn't make it, you'll have to lead the others forward because you're the only one who can. How do you know? Michonne asks. Because you led me here is his answer, which was nice. Yeah, I like that good. We see this coming back. I like that we see this coming back to her. I also like the idea of this situation where Rick has thought about a lot of the stuff, and that's why he was so apprehensive, because he understands how high the stakes are and the responsibility involved, and how a lot of people were poo-pooing Rick because of his reluctance, because they don't understand that heavy is the head that wears the fucking crown. And now that Michonne's starting to see the reality of that, she's starting to back away a little bit. Not because she's not courageous, but because she's nervous. And because
she hasn't spent as much time.
She's fighting through it. Yeah. Right. She's fighting through it. She's very close to leadership now. She understands the burden of what could be should Rick not make it. And I think that that's interesting. And that's it. Kind of cool. Yeah. I definitely like that convo. So they go back to Jadis, and she tries playing hardball with Rick, and he's like, okay. They argue about guns, 10. She's like, no. He's like, fine, we're taking 20.
I so loved
go
that.
Go fuck yourself.
I love that.
Yeah.
And she likes it too. I like her being like, oh, okay. I was just prodding you to see if you had some guts. All right.
Exactly. And then Rick says, and then she's like, well, we need more guns. You get a few, and the cat back, the little thing they stole. You get a few more days before what happens next. Michonne says, I like that. So she's just saying, let's go back on vacation, take a few more days off. Meanwhile, Rosita's standing there with her bitch face on. Just being a hump.
This is dumb.
Stupid.
Fucking stupid.
A red faced.
That is she. Wow. You know what? That's what it is. We
full circle.
We came full circle. We finally figured. We came up with this character. I don't even know how. Who just said that's fucking stupid.
That's.
But that's Rosita. That's her. She's found her. Her destiny has brought her to her appointed slot in life. This is fucking stupid.
Nice. Nice.
Jesus, here we are.
So anyway, let's talk about Tara and Rick.
Yes, Tara and Rick. I like that she's finally just fucking coming out with it. You know, bringing it up at least to Rick, so this isn't some hanging thing anymore. To be honest, I'm like, you know, this has got to come back. We have to do this at some point.
Which is but, what?
Which I'm is... also, I'm like, well, or that we're going to have to make contact with him. Like, you can't take on the Saviors without those people and their guns. There's just no way.
Do you think? Do you think that's what she was? She's going to tell Rick right here.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there's some speculation that maybe she was going to rat out Rosita and her shit attitude.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I guess that does make sense, though. It could be, oh, we got to stop Rosita. She's going to be a shitlord. But I thought it was more, it was a thing for the audience of being like, oh, Rosita's already left, or him saying, right. Oh, she didn't show up for guard duty. But I think because he goes, well, why were you here anyway?
Right.
And like she didn't even know about what was going on with Rosita leaving yet. And so I think it was her being like, yeah, I think I can get you the rest of those guns. Like, I know where we can get them. But, yeah.
Tara's a shitty liar, by the way.
So, yeah.
I like that's a consistency.
Totally. She's a cutie patootie sweetheart, and she can't lie. Like, she can't be a shitty person lying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Meanwhile, we see Rosita fucking just hard walking. Hard fucking face on, walking into Hilltop, and she's like, I'm here because I need your help. That's Sasha, her fucking sleeper agent over here, who's like all getting into leadership and hanging out and fucking on her knees over the gravesite again, and now she's like, cool, I want to go on a one-way trip to die too. I've been waiting for you to come here and to break me out of my very comfortable and awesome living situation over here at Hilltop. It's good to see
right.
you.
Where I've tricked Maggie into believing we had a good relationship and we're working together. Nah, fuck all that. Kamikaze!
Yeah, exactly.
There is only enough fuel left for the trip to get you there.
Damn, that's a hard reality.
Damn.
Only enough fuel to get you there. So, well, long beat, one condition, I get to take the shot.
Meh, we're going to fight over who kills him.
That's how serious they are.
Oh, fuck.
I told you not to let him have his staff.
Shit.
Oh, fuck.
So Rosita pulls out a fucking beautiful sniper rifle, hands it to Sasha. There you go.
And as much as I'm, like, annoyed by their recklessness and this race to killing Negan as if it is just the easy solution to all of their problems. And, like, we've talked at length about that. When she pulled out that fucking rifle and puts it together, I'm like, the video gamer in me, it was just like, oh, sniper mission? Dope! Like, yeah, let's get in there. That sounds awesome.
You got to hit the hold my breath trigger before you... But you squeeze one off,
and you're gonna have to counterbalance the Coriolis effect. You really gotta fight it.
Awesome.
So good.
That's
it. Hard cut to black.
Well, Sasha says some. Rosita's like, Rick and Michonne found guns, and they're gonna just make up a bunch of excuses to, you know, plan an actual assault.
I know. Like, excuses in your mind is like having a plan and resources ready to execute the plan. Wow. Well, yeah. What assholes with their excuses?
You know, they're gonna make a plan, and they're probably gonna come up with blueprints and communications and some fallback measures, a couple of different withdrawal points, and, you know, things of that nature. What I think you and I should do, girl, is just fucking die, Thelma and Louise, right over that fucking cliff, and probably get nothing in the process. You know what this show should do? Honestly?
Yeah.
Kill both of them and they should get nothing.
Ooh,
that would
dude.
Be so ballsy.
That?
Come on. These two fucking dumb, reckless people go off. They get there. They just...
eaten up. Yeah.
Dead. Just fucking chewed up. Holy shit.
And then Rick and company still have to end up paying consequences because of
yes.
two of their people.
Yes.
And it's like... Oh,
it kicks off the war a little early. A few extra people get killed. Come on, man.
Damn. Fuck up. That's. I can't argue with that. That's pretty fucking gutsy.
Be bad
again,
as
another,
shit, man.
And then you kill Rick, and then Michonne's in there, and you're just like, oh, man, this show's really just fucking balls to the wall all of a sudden.
And at the end, as they're dying on the fucking walls, right? These two, we fucked up. They only at the end do they learn and understand what it is they did wrong. Come on.
And that's when Rosita's like, I love you. And she's like, I know.
Oh, shit. I wish we could have scissored just one time.
I wish we weren't secret lesbians. We could have had so much more fun.
I love that scar on your face, I swear to God. It looks so much better. The scar on your face is so much better.
right before all of Negan's line just chews him up like that dude at the beginning of Akira. Just, oh, fuck.
Jesus Christ. fade to black.
There we go. Fade to black. Fucking show over.
Shit.
Wowzers.
Yeah. Wow, that was a podcast.
This one's a wild one.
I had a, this is a
wet,
I'm not gonna lie.
It's a wet
and
wild episode we're going to be getting into.
A blast. All right. God. You want to do some listener comments?
I do.
Okay. Who would you like to do?
I want to do Mr. Marcus Patrick Thompson.
Marcus.
It's a short one. He said, The Walking Dead seems like they want to push taboos. Yes, it's still a thing in America. Star Trek had the first interracial kiss on television. The Walking Dead was straight fucking no rubbers in a van interracial. Kudos to Walking Dead. Kudos.
There you go.
I just had to add that.
Good shit.
That's good shit.
How fucked up is that, that's still taboo? I mean, I'm not going to be so naive to pretend it isn't, but.
Fucking right, yeah.
Fucking weird. People are weird. Their fucking hangups are so weird. I just don't get it. Anyway. Deborah Mercuro says, this show needs way more of Sasha and less of Rosita, or more of the two of them together. Why do I get the feeling Sasha will die and Rosita will live? In my opinion, the show should have showed 45 minutes of Rosita and Sasha rather than Rick and Michonne getting it on. He's getting it on.
I'm going to have to disagree with Deborah on that one. It could have just been a straight softcore porn for me.
Yeah. Could have just been like a 9-minute clip, you know? The scene between Father G and Rosita was powerful. I still think she's stupid, but I'm also so excited to see what happens when they head out for the sanctuary. Badass bitches with nothing to lose. Bring it on. That kind of is the counterpoint to me saying, I hope they get to the wall and just get killed on it. That's why I wanted to read it. It was different, man.
It's different.
I just wanted to read it because it's different. It's variety. I like the variety. You got anybody else you want to read?
Nope. I think I'm good, actually. Wanted some of that flavor there.
You're a big puss. I'm going to read Mr. Fucking Bucketsa. Say, more like, I thought Rick was hallucinating a semi-transparent ghostly deer, like his spirit animal or something, but turns out it was just crappy CG. They must be making enough money to be able to knock up a better one, or maybe they're too dear? Yeah, no, I'll get my coat. British people.
British people and their polite jokes and their silly walks
and their silly wigs. Oh, God.
Their wigs with curls.
Their tea and their Brexits. Fucking guys. Love them. I love them fucking love goofs. Them. All right. Final thoughts?
Boy. You know, when I think about it, I feel like you've already said this really well, actually. My favorite part of this episode is that last scene, that conversation between Rick and Michonne alone. Really liked that. And I think you said it well when it was like, this is the closest that Michonne has ever been to like the height of the responsibility of the group in a way. I mean, I remember back at the prison, there was like, they had this little council thing for a while. And I think Michonne was one of the people on it. But I mean, that's a council.
That was getting a little culty, huh?
Right. Could have been the cult of Herschel if it had gone on long enough. So that's a thing where, you know, you're with 5-6 other people, that leadership is still kind of spread out among you. Like, it has pretty much all fallen back to Rick at this point, and now she is right there, you know, the right hand of Rick. And like, I think you are right in that, of like, she's seeing it and she's seeing the weight of it, and she's seeing, you know, has this moment of, oh God, if he's gone. If I think in that moment, for one, she also thought, if he's gone, it's now me. Like, now I'm going to have to pick up where he left off. I'm responsible for his kids now. Like, and it's not being like just afraid of that, but of like, I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if I can do right by all these people. And you know, also that she does love him and would be brokenhearted, and she's already been brokenhearted before. Like, I liked getting a glimpse into those depths for her. That was the best stuff. Because, again, I've said it over and over, I'm here for the characters. Mm. I'm here for Michonne. I want to know, you know, when I think about how this show ends and like what kind of future are we going to leave in, leave into with the show is I'm still going, oh, I wonder where like Michonne's going to be at that point. Like, how right. are they going to be thinking and feeling about each other come this time and everything? And this was this as far as the rest of this episode, it's one of the weaker ones in a lot of ways.
Sure.
Stuff I enjoyed about. I mean, to be honest, God, I actually really enjoyed some of the Walker kills in this episode. Like Michonne waiting for them to line up, amble together in a line and stick the sword straight through both of their heads. Ah, good shit. Fun stuff. But that those moments of this episode are what I'm here for. And I like that a lot.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I kind of fucked around a little bit, but, there's some cool stuff about this episode going on, but for the most part, I kind of just felt like it was sort of meandering, but I thought some of the stuff between Michonne and Rick was important. I thought they did a good job with it. I think the two actors do a good job of making us see this relationship to be further along. I liked it. I think it was cool. And, that to me is what the highlight of this week's episode was just, you know, them collecting guns, them doing their bullshit. That was just sort of, perfunctory. Like, we know they need to get guns. So while they're out getting guns, it wasn't about getting guns. Guns is something they're supposed to do. What it's about is them out there doing their thing, right?
Yeah. You're on an important mission with an NPC. Yeah, it's some dumb quest errand. Doesn't matter. It's the dialogue on the way. It's the time you get to spend with a person.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that's kind of what it came down to. But otherwise, I was like, you know, it's just fucking another episode of The Walking Dead, man. We're just moving along. But I'm all for watching Sasha and Rosita get blown away on the wall. That's what I want to see.
I'm with you on that. Fuck it. It'd
be kind of cool. I think it'd be kind of tragic, you know? Like, these two work themselves up into this, all lathered up in this fucking frenzy, right? And then they're like, let's go. God damn it, let's go do this. And they just get gunned down.
Just claymored even before they get to the fucking wall.
Yeah, that would make me very happy. I would have a husband's bulge for something like this. And it would be fucking glorious, right? I would be like, nice. Oh my God, it's happening. You know, you can cue up fucking some epic music, right? And just they get gunned down on the wall and accomplish nothing.
The fucking end of Bonnie and Clyde, just
yeah,
slow motion, just eating bullets.
What do we do now? It's all slow-mo voice. Fucking Rosita falls, her hat flies off. Come on, man.
Yeah, take yes for an answer. You sold me.
That's
I want this. I'm pretty much there.
Come on, man.
Yikes.
And in their dying breaths, they regret all the scissoring they didn't do. Or is that just me?
No, I'm there with you. We wasted all this time over some dumb redhead dead guy when we could have just made this happen. Fuck.
Oh, man, that's fucking good shit. That is good shit. Well, anything else you want to say to these good people, Matt?
I don't think so. Next time, guys.
Next time. Yeah. What do we think is going to happen next week? Any predictions?
Ooh. Well, I mean, I think we've already laid out one pretty well. That Sasha and they'll be fucking eaten alive by bullets. Man, I don't have any straight up predictions. Oh, one thing I do want to see though, I want to see the like women's contingent that has to go to Oceanside, because you know Tara's gonna be like, literally none of you guys can come. They're just gonna fucking shoot your ass on sight. Like, it's gonna have to be girls only, girls night out, fucking to Oceanside.
Right on.
And I like the idea of just seeing the our female characters go over there. That's a dynamic we haven't really seen of just the female characters with these other crazy ass new female characters. I'm like, that sounds interesting. I think that's where I doubt we're gonna get that next episode. Walking Dead's in the middle of that whole stagger back and forth thing. Like, now it's gonna be off at the fucking sanctuary or something. Like, I don't know. But yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. Yeah, and then you just see Rick. I'm borrowing this idea from the chat. Then you just see sort of Rick waiting in an office, and he's like, damn, Rosita's not here for a KPI meeting. I wonder where she is. She's supposed to be here. We got to work on her teamwork skills. We've got a couple workshops. We're gonna put her on a train, send her to a couple workshops, put her up in a hotel where she can get some yummy, yummy food on the company.
send her back ready to work, ready to tackle those new goals.
Going to have a lot of real good when you and then I feel questions, like a little good dialogue.
Yeah, we're gonna break out, and we're going to do breakout sessions and role play.
Hey, Rosita. Hey, time for some trust falls.
Hey, Rosita. One of the Alexandrian residents complains to you and says, hey, my water's cold. How do you handle that, Rosita?
What do you do? What's your biggest weakness, Rosita?
Rosita, what is the most insightful piece of feedback you ever got from a customer before? Hey, Rosita, can you just go get me some fucking coffee?
I could just fucking knock off the asshole shit for like 5 minutes.
We're out of here, guys. Have a good one. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out LibertyStreetGeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right. We'll see you next time.